There is no doubt that I'm very, very confident that, God willing, 2015 elections will be remarkably much, much better than what we were able to do in 2011. And my confidence arises from what I know that we have done since 2011 in order to bring remarkable improvements come 2015. For example, soon after 2011 elections, we did a review of what we did in 2011 internally, and we came better informed about what we did right and what mistakes were made and what needed to be done to improve upon those. Then we commissioned very credible Nigerians drawn from the academia and from the civil society organizations, and we asked them to go and do an independent assessment of the 2011 elections. And they produced an excellent report itemizing also what they believed we did right and where they thought that we needed to improve upon. After we've done all that, we produced a strategic plan covering the period 2012 to 2016, so that for the elections and beyond, we have a clearly charted out program of what needed to be done to improve election management in Nigeria, both towards 2015 and beyond. And our vision was to be one of the best election management bodies in Africa by 2015. And there are a lot of things we've done in the implementation of that strategic plan to give us confidence that we are moving in the right direction. Then we reorganized and restructured INEC in order to make it more efficient and more effective in the delivery of electoral services. We have done what I call putting square pegs in square holes, you know, in terms of human resources, in terms of removing duplication of responsibilities, and so on. You know, and we have done a lot of training and retraining of our staff. We have done quite a lot in the area of what we call improving the integrity of the voters' register. You know, and we have actually produced the permanent voters' cards. We are going to distribute them, starting with Ekiti and Oshun. And come 2015, we are going to use card readers to be able to authenticate whether the person who brings a card to the polling unit is the actual owner of that card. So there is quite a lot that we have done in terms of operational preparations, in terms of planning, and in terms of policies to improve upon what we have done. So we are very confident that, God willing, in 2015, we would raise the bar much, much higher than we were able to raise it in 2011. Now, of course, as we conducted one election to another, we have kept on improving. Although sometimes some mistakes occur, and unfortunately, these mistakes are characterized by a media hype, which make it appear as if and creates the perception as if INEC is not ready or is incompetent, or as if we have not done anything to bring improvements into the process. But we know we are doing quite a lot, and we know what we have done is substantive enough to give us confidence that technically and operationally, the election will be substantially much, much better. However, I must say that having free, fair, and credible elections in a country like Nigeria is not just about what INEC does. Stakeholders also have a responsibility. It is as much about what politicians do. It is as much about what civil society organizations do, and it is much about what other critical stakeholders like the media also do. So our hope is that while we concentrate on doing our best, we are hopeful and we keep on engaging different stakeholders so that all hands will be on deck in order to ensure that 2015 is indeed truly much better than 2011.
basically, you have about a year more for this election to occur. What steps or what measures, pragmatic measures in terms of planning, is INEC implementing to ensure a successful vote in 2015?
Mm. Well, I have mentioned a lot of things that we've done practically,
right?
You know, and obviously some of those things are already beginning to take effect. But I think one area of priority for us that we are now devoting a lot of attention to is in the area of improving logistics and deployment of personnel and material.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a perpetual or recurrent area of challenge for INEC. There have been remarkable improvements, you know. Mm-hmm. When we did the election in 2011, you know, we have noticed from the first election to the last election, mm-hmm. we've been deploying, you know, more and more polling units open on time.
Right.
You know, I think by the time we did the 2011 elections, we had recorded in one of the three elections that we did about ensuring that by 8 a.m., at least around 70% of the polling units had opened, you know, and by, say, 10 a.m., virtually about 85 to 90% of the polling units had opened. There were still a few cases because of logistics challenges, materials did not arrive on time, which did not open until maybe one or so, which required us to extend the time. Unfortunately, when the media report, they do not report that 80 or 90% of the polling units have opened on time. They will only report those ones where
there were
challenges. So those are the things we faced. By the time we got to Ondo election, you know, by 8 a.m., we were confident that about 85% had opened on time. If you add 2 hours, virtually every polling unit had opened. But maybe there is one in which it did not open until around 12. And again, the media will focus on that. So really, what we have been trying to do and to devote, and this is, for example, what happened in Anambra State.
Mm-hmm.
There are 21 local governments, you know, and if you look at those 21 local governments, overwhelming majority of the polling units had commenced on time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but in one local government, there was a mix-up in the distribution of materials, which occasioned delays which angered the voters. And because of that anger, they blockaded and prevented our officials from proceeding with the preparations. And we had to reschedule that election.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that incident in one local government out of 21 local governments now became the key. Everybody is saying that INEC bungled the Anambra elections. And it wasn't really so.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, of course, media hype facilitated, I regret to say, by political interests, because there are people who realized that perhaps it would be better for them if the entire elections were cancelled, and worked assiduously to ensure that that happened.
Yeah.
You know, so there are challenges of logistics, and we are paying a lot of attention now, so that really, as we do Ekiti, as we do Oshun, and as we move towards 2015, there will be increased improvement in the area of logistics of deployment.
Let me ask you about the funding of INEC in its ability to organize this election that you anticipate it to be very credible, free, and fair. You talked about logistical challenges. How about the funding of the entire election? How has INEC gotten the money yet?
Well, definitely funding of elections is usually a major concern to all election management bodies. And I will be lying if I say that it is not a concern to us. An election management body wants to ensure that few months to an election, it has all the resources it needs in the kitty, so that it doesn't, you don't have to be trying to conduct elections and you are worried about where funding is coming from. And unfortunately, in the Nigeria because of the macroeconomic management policies, and particularly because of the budgeting process, what you believe you need is not what you eventually get. And we prepared a budget, which we have submitted, and we have concerns as to whether what we actually need will be provided. And we have engaged both members of the National Assembly and the government at the highest level, raising these concerns. And I must say that we have received assurances that everything will be done to ensure that lack of resources do not undermine the credibility of the 2015 elections. And I think those reassurances are good enough for us to now not worry so much about that.
Professor Jiga, recently the country has faced security challenges. How are you going to address this particular concern, and how do you partner the security agencies to address this?
Well, I mean, as you are no doubt aware, addressing security challenges, it's primarily the responsibility of security agencies. It's not a specific electoral matter. But we partner with security agencies to anticipate challenges, security challenges, and to have a coordinated response and approach to addressing those security challenges. Since 2010, December, I think, 2010, we established what we call an Interagency Consultative Committee on Election Security, ICSES for short. And it has offered us a platform through which we engage with all security agencies to discuss security challenges associated with election, how to anticipate them, how to mitigate them, and how to prevent them even from occurring. And I must say that as we did 2015 election, that had been very, very useful, even though regrettably after the elections, there was the post-election violence after the presidential election, you know. But since then, we've also learned the lessons of that and factored it into our preparations. So I tell you, as I speak with you now, as we prepare for the 2015 elections, we are preparing as if elections will take place everywhere throughout the country. And we are hopeful, and of course we are also praying that long before the elections, the areas where there are serious security challenges, sufficient, substantial normalcy would have been restored to allow us to do free, fair, and credible elections.
Professor Jiga, let me ask you this question. We all know in Africa some politicians will use ethnic and religious sentiment to create tension for them to win elections. Will there be a code of conduct for these politicians in order not for them to be using certain words, code words, to ginger up their supporters just to create chaos?
Yes, I'm glad to say that all the registered political parties, as of I think March last year, had signed to a code of conduct that promotes civility and peaceful conduct, both by political parties and by candidates. And we are hopeful that political parties and candidates would abide by that code of conduct. And we are, in fact, urging all citizens and all civil society organizations to hold parties and candidates to account with regards to the commitment that they have made for peaceful conduct and for civil engagement in the electoral process. Of course, there have been concerns with utterances of politicians, utterances which tend to mobilize either ethnic or religious sentiments, or utterances which are really unguarded and which are capable of igniting conflicts and violence during the electioneering process. So And unfortunately, a lot of it has to do with the attitude of our politicians. And Nigerian politicians, like many other politicians on the African continent, but perhaps more so in Nigeria than in other countries, have this mentality of winning elections at all costs. It's a mindset which really we need to work extra hard to address. Because that mindset, which in Nigeria we call the do-or-die mentality of politicians, really pushes our politicians to want to win elections by hook or by crook, such that they could mobilize ethnicity, they can mobilize religion, they can use money, they can threaten or harass or kill in order to achieve their electoral goals. And it's a very, very destructive mindset, and it is very, very important that for peace and stability nationally, as well as for deepening democracy in our countries, that we politicians really work hard to cure themselves of that mentality.
Now, Professor Jay, let me ask you, talking about this issue of tension and all that, will there be a platform for all these political parties to engage themselves about how to hold themselves accountable, to exchange ideas? The credibility of the vote needs to be protected by the parties themselves, as part of the process. Yeah. Will there be a platform organized by INEC to address this?
No, definitely. The Code of Conduct document itself specified the establishment of Inter-Party Advisory Council, and it has been formed and it's been functional. And it is a platform in which political parties periodically meet and share and exchange ideas and also do a peer review in terms of the extent of compliance with the Code of Conduct. Regrettably, the Code of Conduct is mostly about free commitment commitments freely entered into by political parties about their own conduct. It is devoid of sanctions. So unfortunately, you tend to see a lack of a zealous commitment to things that they have signed up to. And that's why earlier on I said that there is need for civil society organizations and even the voters to begin to hold parties accountable and candidates accountable to things that they have signed that can add to the integrity of the process. But in addition to the Inter-Party Advisory Council, we in INEC have for the last 1 year, and we will continue to do it up to the election and beyond, we've created a forum in which every 3 months, quarterly, we meet with all representatives of registered political parties, and we have an agenda where we share information with them, we give them briefings, we listen to their concerns, and we generally work towards exchanging information, sharing ideas, and it's been very, very useful in terms of building trust and confidence and being open about what we are doing and ensuring that there is no communication gap. Throughout last year, we met, and when we meet in one quarter, we fix the date for another quarter, and it has worked perfectly. And we are looking forward, actually, to a meeting in March, which is the first meeting in this year, this quarter. So we've been doing a lot also through these engagements. And as we meet with political parties, we are also creating fora and platforms to engage other stakeholders, civil society organizations, and other critical stakeholders in the electoral process.
I remember some people expressed concern that there are too many political parties in Nigeria. Mm. Although the constitution allows anybody to form a political party, would you want INEC to have a yardstick, perhaps, to scrutinize who forms political parties, who the members are, so the, as they say, the paper that people will vote will not be as long as from here to Abuja?
Yes. No, I mean, our constitution is clear about how parties are formed, and so long as there is compliance with the provisions of the constitution, people can form parties. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that now, virtually every month, we receive
applications.
But we follow the procedure as specified by law. But we've come a long way. If when we did the elections in 2011, there were 63 registered political parties in Nigeria. As I speak with you now, there are 25 registered political parties. Even though there are still applications coming almost on a monthly basis, you know, but we have a substantially reduced number, and with mergers and other things that are likely to keep on happening, perhaps we may continue to have less. But what we have done is we have also come to the realization, consistent with good practice globally, that it's one thing to have a party registered and a party to exist and to campaign on issues and so on, but it's another thing as to which parties go on the ballot.
Right.
So we've made a recommendation to the National Assembly for the review of the Electoral Act to include a provision that would allow INEC, working together with political parties, to agree to a criteria which parties have to meet before they go onto the ballot.
Right.
And we believe this will now make it even much better. That yes, you can be a registered party, but to be on a presidential ballot in particular, you will have to meet certain criteria.
Right.
And there are many models in the world about which criteria is good and which can be used. And we've made that recommendation. It's one of the things that we are hoping that the National Assembly will approve in the amendments to the Electoral Act and the Constitution.
Thank you very much, Professor Jigar, for speaking with the Voice of America.
Thank you very much for this opportunity,
Peter. Thank you.